Podcast.
Hi. So, I felt compelled to do this because I figured if I don't do this now, I probably never will. And yet, for me, this is one of the things that is on my bucket list. One of those things that feels like it might be a breakthrough for me, and I say that with the utmost humility, because by breakthrough I really mean for myself above all things. I feel like I'm really entering this space for myself. This for me is a self-serving, self-fulfilling prophecy of mine that I would absolutely not feel any form of accomplishment in my life if I didn't at least try. Like, try to do something for myself, by myself, with myself. And man, after a lot of deliberation with my homies and other people who felt like, yo, like, why don't you do a podcast? Like, why aren't you doing a podcast? Like, where is the podcast? Like, you still haven't started the podcast? Man, all these guys seem to see this inbuilt ability for me to take up space on this platform and, well, like, just be myself. And like, for some reason, I don't know why I couldn't find it within myself. I feel like I always understood that I probably have the raw skill set for something like this, but I didn't have as much confidence in myself as every single literal person outside of me did. Colleagues, friends, a lot of people who I've encountered in my life have asked me if I've been on the radio before, if, like, why aren't I in some form of media house or whatever it is, but man, I finally arrived at the decision today, literally today, like 2 hours ago. I just put pen to paper and I was just like, yo, it's today or never. So I was just like, yo, let me just take this plunge and be like, fuck it. If we die, we die. At least we tried, right? Okay, not if we die, because I love my life and I still have a lot to live for. So no, that was said hypothetically, but yeah, you catch the drift. But before I go off on a tangent, I realized I haven't even introduced myself. Like, how rude of me. Grave apologies. This also might be a recurring theme on this podcast, because I like to talk, those who know. So it's probably going to involve mob yap and seeming basic lack of courtesy and manners, such as introducing myself, duh. Because, as is evidenced, I like to talk, so what's new? But yeah, my name is Bex. I was grappling with how I actually wanted to be known on this space, like how I wanted to introduce myself to the world, because you just never know where this podcast might get to. Stranger things have happened. Anyway, I was weaving between Becky, which is what I usually go by. That's what my friends call me and certain colleagues at work and whatnot, and my alias Bex. And for some reason, I don't know what it was, but Bex just had more of a ring to it. So I was just like, yeah, let's just go with that for now. Of course, I'm at liberty to change it at any one point in the future if I'm feeling like it's not flowing anymore, because I probably might. I get bored easily. That's the ADHD talking. But yeah, it's Bex for now. So yeah, welcome. This is so exciting for me. Welcome all three of you, because I know it's like three people listening in right now. Like, it'll pick up as we go along. But yeah, welcome to the Off Air Podcast. As I say that, I realize another rude thing of me yet again. I completely forgot to introduce at the beginning myself and the name of the podcast. So yes, that's the name of this podcast. It's called Off Air. And I really just wanted to finally, yes, like I've already stated, after much deliberation with my friends and stuff, I decided that I wanted to enter this space to maybe give people a glimpse into, or some insight into, who I am, who and how I am, and maybe why I am here at some point. I don't know. And I just thought, what better way than doing it on this platform? So, hey, here we are. And obviously, some of the key focuses for me that I would like to discuss as we proceed will basically be things that I find particularly enthralling, riveting, thought-provoking, interesting, questionable things, things that are relatable, obviously, because that comes like naturally, even some unrelatable topics, because that's always breeding ground for healthy debate. Note, I said healthy debate, not arguments, because people just love to argue with me for free on certain social media platforms. I shall not mention which ones, but these are not even people that I know, just random strangers on the internet, but I digress. Obviously, things that I find funny, that to me is loud, okay? Funny to me. Because I'm very well aware of the fact that not everyone shares in my particular sense of humor. But it's okay. Not everything can be for everyone, so it's fine. I mean, that's what makes the world as colorful as it is and makes it go round. But I guess fundamentally at the helm, for me, will be spirituality. I shall touch a bit more on this the further along we go. But the long and short of it is I've been on a spiritual journey for an insurmountable period of time. Like a very long time. Like it's been more than a decade. I think I started in uni. So yeah, it's been for a really long time. And I literally can safely say that I would be nowhere without it. So I felt it important to note. And like I've already said, it shall be elaborated on further. But spirituality is so important to me. It's so important to me and my entire being because it centered me again. It's brought me back to a familiar place where I can relate to myself better, where I recognize myself. Because, I mean, life's, you know, you can fall off. But then I think the most important thing is how you just get back on, you know. And so for me, spirituality has always been the saving grace. It's always been there to pick me up out of my rut. And I could definitely say among many things in my life, it's a form of therapy for me, especially when I indulge all the literature that's out there outside of exercise, which is an obvious dopamine releaser. Spirituality is definitely up there with me for therapy. I don't think I've ever been to a therapist, probably like once or twice. And me who loves to research, I realized that I was paying 100K for an hour for someone to basically reiterate my own thoughts back at me. And to be fair, I think I spoke the most between the two of us, which I understood after the fact that that's essentially what therapy is. The therapist is basically helping you weave through your own thoughts and feelings, not basically prescribing to you what to do, but helping you understand, basically sitting with you in the stew and helping you understand what your feelings are. But the truth is, the kind of person that I am and the way my mind works and the way I love to research things and the way I am super curious, I realized that it was a futile mission. Because I basically was paying someone to basically just re-echo what I was thinking about, what I was already thinking, things that I had already researched on my own. And nothing against the therapist. She was really, really good. And I would highly recommend because she sounded extremely professional. And this is stuff she studied. I'm digressing. Like, just stay with me for a bit. But yeah, for me personally, it wasn't helping. And so when I realized things like exercise, which is another thing that I've been doing for more than a decade, and obviously spirituality, I was like, those are my things. Those are my go-tos. Like if I'm feeling low, if I'm feeling down, I know exactly where I can turn to get me like back up there, like vibrating at a high frequency. But I feel it particularly prudent to note that the reason I jumped right into it at the beginning there is, like I said, I've literally done this on a whim. I decided, and I'm not even exaggerating when I say this, I decided in the blink of an eye to get up, drive to a studio, and record an episode. Okay? Literally, it was an impulsive decision. Just impulse. I literally just told myself, you know what? You just need to do this. In the heat of this Kampala, just get up and go to a studio. Of course, there are many steps in between there that I haven't felt the need to point out because, I mean, like, do you really want to know the route that I took all the way to the studio? But my friend was so gracious and generous to let me record in his studio. So that's where I am right now, recording the first ever episode of Off Air Podcast. So, yeah. This embarkment has been in the stratosphere for years. Like, I've been thinking incessantly about doing this for about 4 years, give or take. Yeah, 4 years. And for one reason or another, I just could never get around to actually physically doing it. I don't even know. I just couldn't, despite everybody thinking that I had what it took, despite having a bit of experience in the background that is kind of related to this, I just still just could not feel myself like I couldn't get around to actually physically doing it. And I feel like I could attribute this to a number of things, which I shall also touch on briefly, although brief is not a word in my vocabulary because I don't know how to literally summarize anything. But man, after numerous consultations, I've consulted with so many people in this space, in this content creation space, especially where podcasts are specifically concerned, numerous consultations, almost literal interventions from my friends because they were getting exasperated at the fact that I was just failing to get a move on. They were just like, but how can we see it and you can't see it in yourself? Like, get real, Becky. They gave up on me low-key, because I know they're still ushering me, like, urging, like, you know, propelling me in the background. They still have that vote of confidence. I still feel it. I do. But the reminders have stopped, and I just felt like, you know what, Becky, Bex, that's what we said we're going with. You know what, Bex? If you can't do it for yourself, at least do it for your homies who feel like you can do it, okay? Like, don't let them down, at least, at the very least. So, interesting. Actually, I have a friend who keeps telling me that the only way she feels she can get me to do something in this life, especially things that she feels I could do so well, is by locking me in a basement and throwing away the key, literally, and just passing food through like a tube. And she feels like that's the only way that I would possibly, like, get down and do what it is that I'm supposed to do, because, you guys, the imposter syndrome was impostering. So I just thought, fuck it. Let me just do it with the urgency I feel within right now in this specific moment. Okay, 2 hours ago. Two hours ago. Specifically today, for some reason. Actually, not for some reason. So many digressions, but I have to digress again. I had a random dream last night. This dream wasn't even particularly entertaining. I have some wild dreams where I'm like, damn, was that real or nah? Because, okay, a lot happened there. But this dream wasn't particularly entertaining as such, but it seemed extremely symbolic because of what took place in it. I don't think I need to go into the details of that, but it seemed symbolic in terms of what showed up in the dream and what was kind of being shown to me, like, with so much insistence. And so when I woke up, usually I would ignore something like that, but when I woke up, for some reason, it lingered with me as I was getting ready for work. It just kind of stayed with me. I was just like, yo, God, this dream is not, like, dissipating. Why am I not forgetting about it? So I did what I've never really done. I decided to Google what the dream was about. And to my shock and horror, okay, maybe not to my shock and horror, to be honest with you, deep down in my gut, I felt like I might know what I was about to find, but there was a stark correlation between what the dream symbolized and my sudden urge to come and record this episode, because this isn't the first time I'm recording for this podcast. I think 2 years ago, I recorded with yet another gracious man. I have some dope friends in some good places who have things that are very useful for me. But yeah, I had another friend who kindly and generously rendered his services to me, gave me free studio time and whatnot. I recorded a couple of episodes, but the truth is, it just wasn't resonating. It didn't feel like it was coming from a real place. It didn't feel like it was coming from me. It felt superficial. It felt surface level. It just felt like something that I just wanted. I was so dying to put out because people thought I could. But again, one of the reasons that it's taken me so long to actually do this is I realized that for me to do this, it has to be so true to form. It has to mean something to me. It can't just be me saying things on a platform that are meaningless to me. Otherwise, what's the point? Whether it means something to somebody else. And I feel like energy doesn't lie. You can feel those vibrations through whatever it is that you're listening to it on. And it might not resonate in the way that you intend it to because of the energy that is coming through. It's not coming from a deep place. It's not coming from a genuine place. So, yeah, today it felt genuine. When I put pen to paper, it really felt like what I was saying was coming from a deep place. It was coming from the heart. It was coming from my gut. It felt real. It felt like if I don't act impulsively right now, I'm going to lose this moment. And I didn't want to do that. So I'm in total wonderment, but I'm extremely glad that I'm actually here doing it. So thank you if you're listening, because you don't know how important this specific episode and just everything about this is to me. And you being a part of it makes it that much more special, because at the end of the day, what the heck am I doing a podcast for if nobody's listening, right? So yeah, this being the first ever episode of the Off-Air Podcast, I need to say that so many times so that it sticks. Because I realized I didn't say it in the beginning. But yeah, this being the first ever episode, I don't want to make it too long-winded, because there's like a gazillion and one things I want to touch base with. And I believe there's plenty of time for that going forward. But fundamentally, I wanted to highlight a couple of things that might sound like cliches and probably are, but resonate so deeply with me and tie so much into my reasons behind wanting to do this and what's been holding me back for all this time. I also want to steer clear of making it sound prescriptive. I don't want it to sound like, you know, those things on Twitter, those threads that I find myself entering and going down that rabbit hole, but they bore me because of the oversaturation, like the influx of those. And you realize that guys just love clickbait. They just want, they post things that they realize gain so much traction, and then you just see so much more of it. And so I don't want it to sound like those. When I hit 30, these are 30 things you need to know. Some of the advice that those people give is very profound. But then, like I said, when it became oversaturated and like there was just like a dime a dozen of those, it watered everything down in terms of advice that they were giving. And like the entire message, for me anyway, personally, felt like it was missed. So I don't want this to sound like that, and I hope it actually doesn't. Like a grocery list of things. These are mainly subjective. These are based off of subjective experiences that I've had in my life that have informed my outlook, that have made me realize, especially where this podcast is concerned, things that I felt were prudent, important, pivotal for me to either overcome, or realizations that dawned on me that kind of compelled me to write things down, that further propelled me to actually get into a studio and finally record something that I feel comes from a very true place. So yeah, here goes nothing. So the first one is I discovered, this is subjective. You literally have to get out of your own head and your own way when it comes to the things you feel intrinsically you're more than capable of doing. I realized that I have to literally get out of my own head and my own way, because I'm my only obstacle. If everybody outside of me feels like I am so capable of doing this thing, then what exactly is the issue? This is something that I had that had to be impressed on me in some way I can't even recall exactly when it dawned on me that I was my own obstacle and my own stifling factor. But when it did, it clicked. And I was just like, yo, the imposter syndrome, like I've already mentioned, was imposter syndroming. And I genuinely feel like this is such an overthrown around term or statement, but I don't think people truly understand its profound nature. Because like, me, I'm big on research, especially around topics that I find extremely interesting. I have ADHD, don't ask me, we'll get into that at some point. But like, if I don't find something interesting, I literally am not going to pay attention to it like at all. Like I just can't physically, my brain cannot wire in that direction. But when I do get pulling me out of that place, good luck. But yeah, anyway, when I did my little research around imposter syndrome, because I realize that this is a phrase that I hear so many people use so vastly and so loosely. I realize that, man, this thing is deeper than rap, because you're quite literally doubting your own levels of intellect, your own skill set, your own ability to do something that deep down you know you're more than capable of doing. Which sounds like a super contradiction, right? Like, what in the oxymoron? Because how are you so aware of your capability around something and yet you're still doubting that very aspect of yourself? But when I delved further into this, I realized that the definition, now to me, this one was like, okay. I realized that the definition connotes to high achieving individuals. So it made me stop and be like, okay, me who uses imposter syndrome all the time, especially where this podcast is concerned, which I've said for the a gazillionth time, I'm sure. But I just felt like I had to reevaluate myself. I was like, Bex, are you a high achieving individual? Like, let's just pay attention to your life for a second. Like, what? Of course, I am definitely relentless in my pursuit for things that I know are good for me, like health-wise, exercise and things like that. And to some extent, I definitely will profess to the fact that, yeah, like, I mean, like most of us, I guess, that I would consider myself to some extent high achieving in certain categories. But then what I felt the definition was trying to say is high achieving individuals in general, like people who people see from out the outside and are like, man, that guy is a go-getter, like in everything in their life, like the kind of person who's waking up at 4 a.m. to do a jog, then they're in the gym, and then they're at work before 6 a.m. Yeah, even though like they've done all these things prior to that. And then even at work, they're like killing it. And then even in their social life, they're killing it. Like they're at the top of their game in literally every aspect of their life. So I just had to stop and think about that for a second where I was concerned. And also, it made me wonder if its vast use is as vastly applicable. And what I mean by that is the number of people who I've heard saying it, it made me kind of reassess them or reevaluate them. Like, are you a high achieving individual? And this could just be a loose definition from the internet. But like I said, I value research a lot. So I like went deep into something. Like I literally went down this rabbit hole for whatever reason. But yeah, it just made me wonder, like, it was interesting, but it's obviously a topic for another day. But yeah, like further into my research, I realized that there are symptoms of imposter syndrome, and they kind of categorized these as the four P's. Now, in no particular order for those who aren't privy to this, the four P's are, I think, people-pleasing, procrastination, perfectionism, and paralysis. Yeah, I hope I got those right, in no particular order. And to be honest with you, that was also like, okay, I had no idea that these are correlating factors. Of course, retrospectively, I realize now that, yeah, that does make sense. But at the time, I didn't realize, because I feel like I have or have had a semblance of each of these things at certain points in my life. And I'm sure so many other people can relate to these too. So I was like, okay, put a pin in that as well. Interesting topic for another day. But one thing that I think also kind of like stuck out is the fact that I wasn't really finding any material around how to get around this imposter syndrome, like how to fix it. I'm sure the material is there. I just haven't come across it. Maybe it's because I went down this rabbit hole of what the definition is about that I didn't even give myself a chance to see what the solutions based around it are. But, and also, if anybody has any pointers, kindly point me in the right direction. So like, yeah, I was just like, how do I fix this? Especially because everybody around me feels like I can do this. It's only me getting in the way of me. And I'm also not a believer in a one-size-fits-all approach, but I am a very stern believer that if you can will yourself into it, you can literally do it. You literally can do it. Can, in caps, bold, underlined. But for me, personally, to get out of this random funk where this podcast is concerned, I had to consciously and intentionally adopt various mechanisms over the four-year span to, like, alleviate the feelings around helplessness that I felt around failing to put my foot down and start something that everybody felt I could do. And so I had to take cognizance of the fact that I might not really be tapped into who I am to a large extent, even though I feel for the most part or felt for the most part that I was very tapped into who I am, because I love psychoanalyzing people, and another topic for another day, I digress. But one of the things that I don't think I took note of about myself, and maybe in hindsight I was like, okay, actually, yeah, that makes sense, is I find it very difficult to accept positive feedback or like compliments. And this is like across the board. I'm talking about compliments in terms of work that you've done, compliments in terms of whatever it is, like whatever it is. I realize that I'm either trying to like deviate from the compliment, or like reverted back to the, like back to sender, or like try and divert the topic somehow. Like, I realized that I find it difficult to do this. And I had absolutely no idea that this was a symptom of IS. Yes, we've entered the acronym stage of this podcast. IS, imposter syndrome.
That's your issue, not mine.
So yeah, that was interesting. Another one that I had to... Now, this one... this one had been obvious for me for some time. Like, man. Yeah. I had to learn to break out of my comfort zone. Now, anybody who knows me knows this has to have been the most grueling one of them all, because Lord knows I love my comfort. But I also realized that there would be absolutely no way around it, absolutely no way around it, if I didn't tackle this key aspect of who I am, to an extent, obviously. And also how I self-identify inadvertently. Because it's so easy to get caught up in what is familiar territory and not give yourself the grace to seek out other avenues that might be more serving. And so that's definitely been a big lesson for me. A work in progress, but work nonetheless. And we're progressing, so that's a plus, I'm happy to say. And then obviously things like positive self-talk and self-affirmations. This is something that I do so much that it's become so embedded that it's almost like I'm not thinking when I'm doing it. Like, I can just catch my mind in its own thoughts doing like positive affirmations, self-affirmations, especially when I'm kind of thrown off my course, or like something like kind of shakes my core. I think because of the repetition of doing it for so long, it's just kind of become second nature, and I'm happy about that. And I'll probably elaborate further on those points at some point. But subsequently, as a result, I had to also learn to readjust and readapt to a point where I literally don't stay in my own way. Like, literally. Still a work in progress as well, but definitely further away from the self-deprecating qualities than I was closer to them at some point. So yay me! Progress, progress, progress. Now, this leads me into the second one, which is facing my fears. I'm proud of myself that I'm actually on the second one, because I just jotted down these points and I was like, I'll elaborate when I'm in the studio. So the fact that I haven't gone off course is crazy. But yeah, face your fears. Another cliche anecdote that's so widely used that it almost somewhat loses meaning at certain instances. But the truth is, this is a big, big, big one. A huge, huge, massive one for me, because it's literally where it all begins. For this podcast, it all started from a place of fear. That's why it's taken me so long. It's taken me forever to actually do this. But rather than me just taking this statement at surface level, I found myself having to like really dig deep, like uncomfortably deep. Now, here's a little disclaimer and a little like, you know, fun fact about me. I'm not shy at all of my emotions. I'm quite an emotionally expressive person. Those who know me know that. So I guess I can say I've always been deep. I've always been drawn to depth in any form, obviously apart from water. I'm not a fan of that. But yeah, so depth in mind, depth in emotion, you name it. So yeah, like, it's not entirely alien to me, but there are still some aspects that can be uncomfortable, but I kind of take pleasure in the discomfort. I know I'm a weirdo, because it's showing me a place of growth, or where I need to grow. Like, I like that. I like getting curious. I don't know if I've already stated this, but I can't remember if I already have. But anyway, yeah, I'm an extremely curious person. So even when it comes to myself, whatever I'm feeling, I really take heavily into account. I get extremely curious about me. So I don't really mind the discomfort, especially when it comes to my emotions, because it just makes me more curious. And it makes me realize that, oh, okay, this is a place we need to water, because this is the bit that needs to grow. So it's always showing me that there is a place for growth, or where I need to grow. And I don't think that's ever a bad thing. Like, ever. It can't be a bad thing. I mean, growth should be a great thing. And so I started asking myself what I am, or what I was truly afraid of. Like, what is the root cause of this fear? Like, where is this fear coming from? Like, where is it? Like, what is truly at its most, what is it truly at its most fundamental level? So I just had to put on my big girl panties and be like, so Bex, you need to get clear on your fear. I've been dying to say that. The truth is, I read that somewhere and I was just like, yo, this ties so nicely into what it is that I want to talk about. So I have to slot it in somewhere. So yeah, I got clear on my fear. I'll put that on a t-shirt at some point, maybe patent it, who knows. So I got clear on my fear, like so crystal clear on where it's being derived from. And then, now this is my process. This is how I process things in my life, especially when I'm stuck or like in a bit of a rut. So what I do is I envision the absolute worst case scenario. Always start from the worst point of view, which in this particular case, I guess was the fear of unacceptance in this space, almost feeling unworthy or undeserving and like a bit of a phony. And to disclaim, I'm not a phony by any means whatsoever. But the reason I realized I'm probably feeling like this and why I'm hesitant to take the leap and like take that plunge and like just get into this, because there is a dime a dozen podcasts out there. Like, how are those people feeling before they recorded their first episode? I realized that the reason is because I can be a bit judgmental. I'm not going to lie. Not in general in life, but like, I found that, and we all are for the record, it's part of being human. We literally judge every literal thing that we see with our eyes physically. But, okay, here's the thing. When I've listened to other various podcasts or content across whatever platform, I like find myself picking apart a lot. And then going back to the fact that these guys had the balls to do this, and I'm merely here sitting in the safety and comfort of my space nitpicking. So who's honestly in a better position? Like who? Me, who is just comfortably and, you know, callously nitpicking at someone else's content, or the person who actually took that plunge, the very plunge that I'm fearing to do, and do the very thing that I'm fearing to do? Like, who am I to judge them? And so in some interesting way, I feel like, you know, that mirroring thing, I was like, because I do it, I felt like it might get done back to me, which is inevitable. And I'm not oblivious to that fact. Like, I'd be delusional to think that everybody who listens to this podcast is like up in arms, like about it, or is super like enthusiastic about it. No, I'm well aware of that fact, because I mean, that's just not reality. That's not life. Not everybody likes or can like everything or everyone. So I realized that, and that in some weird way, that realization made me realize that I have to do it now. I actually have to do this, because of course there are going to be people out there who hate it. I know that, but as equally as there are going to be people who hate it, there are also going to be people who like it. So why am I so focused on the negative aspect of things? Because that's an inevitability. But I guess for me, that feeling of unworthiness and undeservingness and unacceptance, what I was worried about to some extent was that unwavering feeling of that somewhat seeping through my words, and that energy being felt, because everything is energy in this life, that energy being felt through whatever forum or whatever it is anybody's listening to me on, that energy being felt and it rendering my message, whatever the message is, as fickle, redundant or superficial. And then that's me falling flat on my face from that crippling fear. And then that's that with that. And who has won in that equation? No one, literally, because I've not done the podcast. The guys don't know even what they can hate on. So like, So what have I done? Nothing. But when I was able to get around that, because I'm guiding you through the process that I take, like my mental process to get past something, when I was able to get around that, I started drifting into more positive thoughts around this and imagining the absolute best case scenario. So now, for me, this could be an array of things like, what if this becomes, or what if this is, because I like speaking in present tense, because the only moment we have is the present moment. Don't get me into my spiritual, please let me not go there. Anyway, the only moment we have is the present moment. So I tend to find myself speaking in the present, especially about things that haven't yet happened, because the only place you can manifest from is here and now. So yeah, what if this is the absolute best top-notch thing I could have ever done for myself? And for whoever it might deeply resonate with, because you just don't know how your message transcends the masses and the one person who actually needed to hear it at that time got the one thing they were so desperately seeking out. Who knows? Like, who knows? You can never know unless you try. Like, what if it all just works out really well and very much in my favor for whatever that might, in my favor, whatever that might look like, because working out in one's favor is subjective at the end of the day. But like, what if it does work out? Like, now that's a thought. Why are you always thinking, this is me like thinking out loud right now, speaking to myself. Why are you always thinking in negative terms? Why are you always thinking about, oh my gosh, like they're going to, what if they don't actually do that? What if they actually like it? What, like, what if? Why aren't you thinking about that? So yeah, anyway, I got these two. Okay, so now I already walked you through the worst case scenario list and then the best case scenario list. So now I have these two contrasting points of view that now essentially inform my overall outlook, because now I can weigh them against each other. Pit them against each other and weigh them. And when I look at the worst case scenario list, I quickly realize that it's literally all in my head. And guess what? So is the best case scenario list. So what's happening here? This is literally a bunch of hypothetical scenarios I've created for myself to justify either why I can or can't do whatever it is I'm trying to do. Now, when it comes to the things that I'm trying to excuse myself from doing because I've succumbed and I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I can't. The way my mind works, like I would find some weird solace in that. It was like a bit of a conscience soother. Actually, the minute I mentioned the word conscience, I was just like, here we go. I'm about to digress. So allow me to digress for a bit. So like I already mentioned, I've been on a spiritual journey for a very long time, and I watch, read, and listen to a lot of spiritual literature that somehow over time I've realized have many overlaps with modern day science. So naturally, I stumble upon hella professionals that focus on the brain and mind and its workings. So like neuroscientists and the like. And it's given me a profound appreciation for just how powerful our minds are. I feel like on the surface, we all kind of know, and we've heard this regurgitated a gazillion and one times, that the mind is powerful, the tongue is powerful, the mind is powerful. But like, I don't think we realize how profound the statement is, like at its most fundamental. So like delving into this material and like learning a lot and da 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 da, especially with the overlaps of spirituality and science. So now spirituality, which was always questioned, can be backed by science, which has stark correlations, and there is, you know, experiments to prove that this and this is actually what it is. So making it, for me anyway, even so much more real. When I realize that the ruling mind is your subconscious mind, it's literally the mind that 90 to 95% of the time is in operation throughout your day. It is what basically, it's how you maneuver, it's how you navigate life. When I realize that the subconscious mind, in essence, to a very large degree, I find that that makes it extremely powerful. Imagine 90 to 95% of your daily ongoings are being done from that place. And also when I learned that how, like, its learning mechanism, like how it learns new information, I was just like, damn, this is deeper than rap. So the subconscious mind, for those who don't know, it's basically, it works, it's like a program. It's like your software. Yeah. And its learning mechanism is through repetition. So now, of course, the subconscious mind has its value in that way, because if I'm thinking about subconscious habits that over time through your lifespan, if you are someone above the age of 10, for instance, that you've gradually built onto up until the age that you are now, for instance, walking. At some point in your life when you were an infant, you had to consciously think about how to walk because you didn't know how to. So this is a program that is being embedded into your subconscious mind. So now the more times you repeated it, the more times you got up and fell down, took one step forward, took one step back, the more times you did that, the conscious mind is learning, obviously, with new piece of information, and then it's going to the subconscious mind to embed in the program. So now when you got to a point where you could just walk without thinking about it, that is now the program. It's embedded in your subconscious mind. It's locked in, loaded, ready to go. So now you can walk. You don't need to think about it. Just imagine every step you are taking right now, having to consciously think about every step. Like, what would you literally do in your life if every step you were taking, you had to consciously think about? And I could list an array of things that fall in that bracket, like driving, for instance. Personally, I found myself, especially routes that I use often, I find myself getting to my destination and not even realizing how, because I'm so deep in thought. I'm somebody who I think a lot. I don't like to say overthinker because it's almost like there's a negative connotation to that, but I think a lot. And so when I'm driving, those are like my best, like, therapeutic times to think. So as I'm driving, especially if the route is familiar, I'm not paying attention to where I'm going, because it's almost like the program is now in motion. You're in autopilot. You're in autopilot. Your subconscious mind has locked it in to the system. It knows how to drive from this point to that point. It doesn't need to think about it. And the reason that's so valuable is because it frees up your conscious mind to focus on and try and resolve more important tasks at hand. Now, these tasks don't necessarily have to be something that is happening right now. It could be like, I don't know. Like, it could be many things. You might think of something, but it could be something that you need to do in the future. It could be something that happened in the past. But what this does, your subconscious mind, the role it plays, or the purpose it's meant to serve or intended to serve, is to embed things that are repeated long enough, over time, become the program, frees up your conscious mind to do things that are actually more important, that actually need more urgent, like, prompt attention. So, knowing all of this, I have become extremely careful about what I repeatedly expose my mind to. Extremely careful. Because, like I've already stated, in regard to the subconscious mind and the program, the minute something is repeated enough times for a long enough period of time, that just becomes the program. You don't need to consciously think about it. And so, when I say I've become careful about what I repeatedly expose my mind to, it's literally all-encompassing. It's people, it's places, it's books, it's programs on TV, it's things that I listen to. It's just literally everything, because it's so important to have that almost intentional filter so that you're careful not to embed a program that isn't serving you. Because, like I already stated, you're operating in autopilot at this point, almost unknowingly. And I guess the danger with that, and why I've become so intentional about it, is most of us, myself inclusive, because I've done this before, outside of now being more intentional about it, work in progress. But most of us, I feel, have identified so strongly with that and allow that, that's who we are. That's who I am. That's my identity. Yeah, me, I'm just a lazy person. Me, I don't know how to, like, I can't wake up early. I'm talking to myself on that one. I just don't know how to wake up early. Oh, I'm just so, like, there's a dime a dozen reasons why it's extremely important to be very aware of what you're exposing your mind to, because we find ourselves getting wrapped up in that and then identifying with that for almost a lifetime even. So, yeah, sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought there, but I was saying that we identify so much unknowingly, not realizing that it's literally just a bunch of habits that have been learnt and repeated, learnt over time and repeated enough times over time, that it becomes second nature and goes completely unnoticed. And then you're just there living a mundane, monotonous, repetitive, seemingly boring life. And you wonder why. I'm talking to myself again there. Anyway, I'm lying. My life isn't boring. Anything but boring. But for those who this resonates with, there's your answer. Now you know why. And by the way, the reason I'm saying it's extremely important to be intentional about what you expose your mind to is because this can go twofold. It can be both negative and positive habits repeated enough times over time, which embed, and then it becomes, it's just how I am. I'm just this person who, I can't help myself. This is how I do. Which I view and term as, this is not me. This is not like, I'm definitely biting someone's term, but like, I view this as a victim mindset. You've succumbed so much to the subconscious, like the attributes that have you've identified with on a subconscious level that now you become a victim of your own life. And then this becomes yet another glaring excuse to not consciously shift away from the damaging ideals of yourself. And yet, when you realize how the subconscious mind works, you realize that it's important to not fully succumb to the program, especially when it's not serving. And that, for me, has been a game changer in my life in general. A complete game changer. Because I realize I can write the program I want to identify with the most. It's literally as simple as that. Okay, maybe not as simple as that. But when you know the workings and the mechanisms around it, you just become more intentional around how you want to be. And now you kind of are equipped with the tools on how to attain that, like how to achieve it. So yeah, I've been extremely careful with my self-talk and saying things like, what if it actually does work out in my favor exactly as I predicted, as opposed to what if it doesn't work out? What if they don't accept me? What if, like in negative terms? Because as humans, we almost are hardwired to immediately seek out the negative self-talk and identify so deeply with that. So when you understand that the mechanism of the subconscious mind is just through repetition, you indulge more like positive, uplifting self-talk that goes straight. Okay, here I'm going into a bit of science. Forgive me. And if there are any medical students or neuroscientists out there who are listening to this, forgive me for like fucking this up. If I do, I don't know. But this is just solely based off of research that I've done and literature that I've been exposed to from neuroscientists. So how it works when you're making a decision is your thoughts go to your prefrontal cortex, which is at the front of the brain, which aids in decision making. And so if it's exposed too long enough, it becomes embedded in your hippocampus. Now, your hippocampus is responsible for long-term memory retention. So when there is a liaison between the two of these things, you derive a decision, you make a decision from that point going forward. So for me, personally, I felt like I had to ensure that my curiosities peak, and ways of doing that can be extremely negligible because sometimes somebody's like, oh man, like I don't have time to be learning new things. This is all subjective experiences. So yeah, ensuring my curiosities peak, I try to learn as many new things on a consistently regular basis as possible. Literally, because what I'm trying to do is to ensure that those neural pathways remain active and stimulated. And it's a big one for me. And it doesn't need to be some hard hitting thing like learning, like reading a new book and learning a new craft or whatever it is. It could be something so mundane and something that you do on such a regular basis, like brushing your teeth with your dominant hand. Try waking up in the morning and using your less dominant hand to brush your teeth. You're already activating new neural pathways because you're putting your mind into action. Your brain is now being active because it's learning a new technique around doing something that you do and you feel is such a mundane activity that you do all the time. But because you do it with your dominant hand, it's now become embedded in the subconscious mind. So it's in the program. You don't need to think about it. So I've found myself doing this, writing with my less dominant hand, things like that, doing things in a less ordinary way from how I'm used to doing it. And yeah, it's been a big one for me, been a game changer. To be honest with you, I don't know where exactly I was going with this specific point, but if the sense is sensing, please and thanks. So yeah, I'm trying to wrap this up because I can jazz for days, like I've already said, but this leads me into another important factor, a really important one for me. All of them are important because they kind of all have overlaps and tie into each other. But one thing that I've tried to stop doing is stop chasing this notion of perfection. I feel like, for starters, perfection, the word something perfect doesn't exist. None of us is perfect. None of us can be perfect. I feel like that's kind of what makes us human and makes it an interesting life journey. If you were perfect, there would be nothing to basically learn in life, basically nothing to achieve. Like, yeah, the imperfection, I feel, is where the perfection in being a human being is. So yeah, I feel like this endless, unattainable pursuit can be the most daunting one for so many people, myself inclusive, because I have my perfectionist streak, because there's literally no such thing, like I've said. I assume most of us have a perfectionist streak. I, for one, I do. But like, my biggest stifling factor is the minute I conjure up in my head that this thing isn't going to be as perfect as I pictured it to be, it's a wrap. I throw in the towel, sit back and binge watch brain scrambling reality TV, which cannot be helping. That's just a lose-lose situation. Because for me, like, interestingly enough, the mental process in itself is exhausting enough that in some twisted way, it feels like a bit of an accomplishment. Like, meh, at least I tried. And yet, like, what the fuck? You've literally done nothing, nothing, at least nothing to your benefit, but just think about something. You've just gone through an intellectual process that has served you in absolutely no way. So I'm learning to stop chasing this unattainable thing called perfection. And so, yeah, this was and still very much is a very big one. And I believe one of the heftiest stifling factors where this podcast specifically is concerned. And also many other aspects of my real life, but a topic for another day. And like I already stated, we have so many episodes to go, hopefully. Fingers crossed. If you could see me, you'd see that I'm crossing my fingers. But yeah, this illusion of perfection can be as tempting as it is fatal. So like, I felt like to negate this avoidance technique, I decided to swap this pursuit of perfection, like trade in my pursuit for perfection for things that are more wholesome, more attainable, more relatable. So like more human, more human. So instead of trying to pursue perfection, I feel I've traded that in for pursuing things like being a more honest person, being a more reliable person to the people in my life, to my work, whatever it is, being a more relatable person. For the most part, I think I can be pretty relatable because I wear my heart on my sleeve and I already stated I'm emotionally expressive, so I never shy away from my emotions. I can go deep. And also, I guess being the most authentic version of who I am, who I could possibly be. Yeah, so I traded in the pursuit for perfection, for honesty, for relatability, for reliability, for authenticity, for genuinity. Is that even a word? You could list any other itty you want. But I guess to wrap up, I feel like to fully take up my space on this platform and in this world, I guess, in the most wholesome, in a holy... When I say holy, I mean W-H-O-L-L-Y, not holy H-O-L-Y. But for me to fully take up my space on this platform and in this world, holy, genuinely, relentlessly, fearlessly, I realized that the only thing that I had to do was eliminate my fear, like walk in faith, take the plunge, take that leap of faith, and just do what I have to do. That's it. Because I also realized that that's the only way to make life as fulfilling and as authentically mine as I possibly can. And to be honest with you, I feel like that's all one ever truly needs in this life. Just be the most authentic version of who you are. And I just don't think you can ever go wrong with that, ever. And like I already stated a gazillion trillion times, energy is everything. Energy is in everything. So if you're being inauthentic, I feel like that can always be read with ease. You find yourself in random places where you're drawn to a random person and you have absolutely no idea why. You leave feeling extremely impressed by them, like, you know, uplifted, and you're wondering why. It's an energy thing. They're probably extremely authentic. And so I guess strive for that. Chill the perfectionist KBs. Try and be the most authentic person that you can be, because there is literally only one version of you. You're the prototype and the only type. So that, to me, is my closing remark. Anyway, that said, thanks so much, all three of you, for listening into my very first ever episode of the Off Air Podcast. This is an extremely special one for me because I can see it being the beginning of so many things for me, so many firsts, if you may. And I'm proud that I took this plunge, and I'm happy that you're listening in, because you won't fully appreciate or understand how special you are to me for listening in because of how special this beginning episode is. And hopefully it's, you know, a journey, an endless journey of many more episodes with relatable content. And I'm proud that I took this plunge, and I hope whatever the content is, it resonates with someone out there on some scale. So yeah, if I haven't already said it, welcome to the first episode ever of Off Air Podcast. Hopefully this is the beginning of many, 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 many more to come. And always remember, this is my catchphrase. This one has been with me for like 4 years. If there was any doubt, it was about this catchphrase. And I'm going to go to UNBS and see how I can patent this. But remember, authenticity is key. I've labored that point. Just to emphasize that one, let me re-echo the words of the GOAT, Ye West. I like this line that he says in one of his songs. I can't even remember, but the line always stands out to me, where he's like, there's 1,000 yous, there's only one of me. Yeah, don't be that guy, please. For your sake and all of ours, just be you. At the end of the day, it's literally the only version that there is. So yeah, of one, and you're the only one. So yeah. Anyway, that's enough from me. I'm out. Peace.